Everybody who dies is good. If you ever go to a funeral, isn't that pretty much the case? An old boy can be a drunk. He could have never worked, never provided for his wife and family, maybe even have abused them to some extent. And when the preacher stands up to preach his lesson, he'll say something like this: "Old Joe, though, was a good man." Now, the reason that I introduced this lesson with that is because I am going to talk to you about Islam's good view of Jesus. Good is relative, isn't it? And that's what I want you to understand. I'm going to call it the positive view, the good view, whatever you want to call it. But just understand that these words are used in a very relative sense, okay? Because when you and I understand these concepts, we don't view them as necessarily good, okay? So just be aware of that. We are studying Islam's view of Jesus Christ. I have up here the Muslim Jesus. The Muslim Jesus. And he is quite different than the Christian Jesus. You'll see by the time we get to the end of tonight's lesson. Folks, tonight's lesson is going to be L-O-N-G. Okay? Long. So just kind of settle in your seat a little bit. And I'm putting 2 hours into 1 hour. And for me, that's an impossibility. Okay? So, but I will try to fly through this and get through just as quickly as we possibly can. I want you to note, first of all, this t-shirt. Okay? This t-shirt says the following: Muslims believe in Jesus. Okay? And underneath it, it says, "Peace be upon him." So if you are out in a Muslim community and you see 5, 6, 7 Muslim individuals wearing this t-shirt, what would you think? Okay? You would think, what, Rodney? Okay, but that's you. Okay? I'm talking about based on what you see in the t-shirt, what would you think? Sure, you think, yes, the Muslims believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. He wears a t-shirt and he says he believes in Jesus, okay? Folks, anybody we ever talk to, I don't care whether it's a Christian, as far as you know what we refer to as a Christian, a Muslim, a Hindu, a Buddhist, it doesn't matter who it is. Anybody who says they believe in Jesus still needs to be questioned. Because there are many concepts of Jesus that individuals possess. Okay, and so you have to go a little deeper than that. You know, it's not just enough to say, yes, we believe in Jesus. You have to go deeper than that. And so that's what we're going to do in tonight's lesson. We're going to go a little bit deeper than that, okay? Jesus is mentioned in the Quran. In fact, notice he is mentioned in 15 surahs and 95 verses. That's quite a few times, isn't it? 15 surahs and 95 verses. Is that more times than the name Muhammad is found? It is. More time. 93 verses. Okay? 15 surahs, 93 verses. Notice some of the words that are used to describe Jesus Christ. A righteous prophet. A messenger to Israel. A messenger of God, that's found 10 times. Notice this next one, Christ. Wow, that's what we refer to him as, don't we? What does that word mean? Anybody know? Christ. Okay, yes, it literally means the anointed one. Christos, it is not his name, it is a title. Okay, and it is equivalent to the Hebrew Messiah. Okay, the anointed one. And so they use that term in reference to Jesus. So if you were to ask a Muslim, do you believe Jesus is the Christ? Guess what they would say? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Does anybody know what three offices in the Old Testament were anointed positions? Prophet, king, priest. Prophet, priest, and king. All three of those were anointed. Okay? So when they refer to Jesus being the Christ, the anointed, it's merely in the office of a prophet. Okay? Just be aware of that. It's in the office of a prophet. Notice this next one, very interesting. He is referred to as the Son of Mary. The Son of Mary. And several times, in fact, isn't it? 23 times, that's quite a few times, isn't it? Is that kind of an interesting title? Okay, that's an interesting. Was he the Son of Mary? Yes. Oh yeah, he was the Son of Mary. But do we as... I have to be very careful with this word. We throw this word around so much, Christian even, okay? Do the Catholics refer to Jesus as the Son of Mary? Oh, yes. And they hold that in extremely high esteem, do they not? Okay. The question that I ask when he uses that title is, where'd you get that? Okay. Remember, we said that he was a trading man. He was a caravan man. He went to a lot of places, came in contact with a lot of people. And what one group do you think he may have come in contact with quite a bit? Catholics. Folks, during his time, the Catholic Church was the dominant religion upon the earth. As far as, wearing the name and holding it in esteem. And they referred to Jesus as the Son of Mary. And then all of a sudden, he's writing about Jesus. And what does he call him? The Son of Mary. Okay. He's referred to as the servant of God, the Word of God. Wow. We even call him that, don't we? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1 verse 1. He's referred to as Spirit. He is referred to as the sign, example, and witness. Do all of those statements appear that they are holding him in pretty high esteem? Oh, yes. If that's all you were to hear. And you are especially to hear a sermon say, maybe the sermon says something like this. Tonight we're going to preach a lesson on what the Quran says about Jesus. And they just start talking about all these titles. Okay? What would you come away with? Hey, they believe in the same Jesus I do. Right? Okay? Keep going. Watch this. The Quran also supports two other facts about Jesus. Number one, the virgin birth. In Surah chapter 3 verse 47. So they believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. Isn't that amazing? Okay? That's kind of an interesting concept, isn't it? Notice the next one. They also believe in the miracles of Jesus. In fact, the Quran records two miracles for us that we don't even have in our own Bibles. Isn't that something? You want to know what they are? Number one, he spoke from the cradle. Okay? Even as a little infant, he spoke from the cradle, folks. Okay, that's found in Surah 3, 29 through 33. Next, this is the second miracle. He formed living birds out of the clay when he was a boy. Do we have much information in our Bibles about Jesus as a little boy? No, just one incident at the age of 12, isn't that right? That's all that we really have. And yet, here are two instances that Muhammad records for us that are in addition to that, and both of them are miraculous in nature. Okay, that second one comes from Surah 5, verse 110. Okay, now, folks, even so, the Islamic view is still totally different than the view that Christians have. Okay, and like I said, we're going to present to you tonight the positive view of Jesus. That is far as how Islam looks at him from a positive standpoint. And if this is the only side you heard, you wouldn't agree with it at all. Okay? So it's really not positive. I'm just putting it in that term, okay? Because this is how they actually see Jesus. And then we're going to look at the negative views they have with regard to Jesus, and that is the eye-opener, okay? All right. Let's talk about this positive view of Jesus. Notice where I begin. And folks, everything begins right here, does it not? Okay? The absolute oneness of who? Of Allah. Okay? Now, Surah 112 is one that they memorize as little bitty children. Okay? This is one of the surahs that is instilled indelibly in their minds. And here's what it says. Say, He is God, the one and only, the eternal, absolute. Now look at this next statement. He begets what? Not. Got that? Underline that. Highlight that. He begets not. How do we refer to Jesus today? As the only begotten Son of God. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That's if you have a good translation. Okay, you got one of the new versions, they don't say that anymore. Okay? But in the Greek language, it is monogenes, only begotten Son. That's what we call Him, isn't it? And ever since I've been little bitty, I've heard that term, only begotten Son. But notice what they say. Allah begets not. Folks, does that automatically make the two gods different? Yes. Allah and the God of Christianity are not the same. One can beget through the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit. The other cannot beget, period. Okay? Notice they continue. Nor is He begotten, and there is none like unto Him. I want you to look at a word. Okay? It's the word samad. S-A-M-A-D. And it is the... hang on a minute. I'll get my verbiage right here. The Aramaic word for absolute. Okay? Notice that the text says that He is the eternal, absolute God. Okay? Here's what the word samad means. Something that is so seamless and whole that one cannot even conceptualize it as divided or in parts. It has such integral unity that it is absolutely without seam or fissure, completely unified. Okay? Now that's their concept of God, right? We've got to get that in our minds firmly. Okay? They start everything from that premise, right? There is one God, Allah, and He is one being. Do we call Jesus God? Yes. John 1 verse 1, I just quoted it just a second ago, talking about the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1 verse 1. We call Jesus God, don't we? And that is something that the Islamic faith will never do. Okay? Never do. Because Allah is what? He is one. Okay? You can't divide Him. Now, the next thing that we need to do is we need to talk about Islam's view of man. And folks, their view of man is not really that radically different than the Christian view of man. Okay? But we need to kind of get a handle on it just a little bit. Okay? Let me read this statement to you. Man enjoys a very important role in this cosmos. Although all things are made by God and identified with God inasmuch as they're being created by Him, man is the one who houses an aspect of God within him. Got that? Okay. Every human being, they believe, houses an aspect of God within him. What do you think they call that? Spirit. Notice that next statement. In the Quran, God says He has breathed His spirit into man. Okay? So God created man, and God instilled into him a part of His spirit. Got it? His spirit. Not just put spirit within him, But he put a part of his spirit within him. Okay? What you going to say, Marcus? You got something going on in your head. Okay? It gets interesting, okay? Notice this next statement. It is the innermost spirit that is the only part of the human that can in some sense perceive that divine reality, as it is essentially a part of it. Okay? Got it? We got flesh and we got spirit. If you were just to hear the Muslims talk and they said, man is a being of flesh and spirit, what would you say? Amen. Amen. You'd have somebody back there, you know, hollering out amen. Maybe one of the women folks in the background. You know, that's what some of them do now, don't they? And, you know, you'd think, but you have to understand, what is he talking about when he says the spirit is in man? Okay? We're talking about life force, aren't we? God has instilled life force in man. God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2, verse 7. We're not just talking about his becoming a living soul. He did become that. But what kind of a spirit did he have put in him? Part of the spirit of Allah. Okay? Now, watch this next part. Okay? The rest of man, I'm talking about anything other than his spirit, is a curtain between man and Allah. Okay? Now, the reason I say that this can be likened under the Christian faith is because that when we turn into books like Romans or Galatians, what does Paul talk about in those books? The war between the flesh and spirit. See, that's what they say is going on. Okay? A war going on between the flesh and the spirit. And spirit is good, right? And spirit to them is Allah. And the flesh is doing everything it can to keep man from what? From Allah. Okay? So there's a battle being waged between flesh and spirit. All right? Now, notice this next point. Man is to set aside the veil of the corporal and material self. Okay? What do we say? How do we put it? Do we say similar thing? We have to die to self. Isn't that what we say? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 15 tells us that we have to die to self. The Apostle Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. He crucified himself. Okay, so there's some similarity here between the two views. Okay, but here's the difference. You ready? Let me continue to read my statement that I have on my sheet here. Shunning it, that is the flesh, he is able to let his invisible dimension reflect the light it so wants to see. The Spirit of God, which resides in man, longs for a reunion with its original. It reaches out and makes man's soul restless to cleanse itself of all that is not God. Okay? So guys, the very moment a child is born into this world, he's in the flesh, isn't he? Okay? But he's also got what inside of him? The Spirit of Allah, right? And so from that point on, the battle is what? Okay, the battle is waging. It is. But from that point on, that child is trying to what? Rid himself of as much as he possibly can that is what? That is not the Spirit. Okay? Because the more he does that, the more he grows to be like who? Like Allah. And folks, what you're trying to do is you're trying to get as close to Allah as you possibly can. Now let me ask you something. Do some Christians do a better job of dying to the flesh than others? They do, don't they? You know, would you say that some Christians are more Christ-like than others? Yeah, oh boy, see, we just, same thing happens in the Muslim faith, okay? There are some individuals who, you know, they really take this to heart, it really gets serious, and boy, they, quote, bust a gut to become as much like Allah as they possibly can. Okay? And then there's some that are, you know, down the line, all kinds, all the way down. Okay? Some aren't very Muslim-like. Okay? Some aren't very Allah-like. Some of them are very, very worldly, very, very temporal, very, very carnal individuals because they haven't died to self. Okay? Now, you understand this view of man, right? Now, let's go on and let's look. What a man is attempting to do, what a man longs to do, is he wants to become the perfect man. Have we ever heard that statement before? When? No. I'm talking about in our study of Islam. Have we heard, you know, they say, we're talking about the Muslims say, that what you're attempting to do is to become the perfect man. Muhammad. Remember that long list of things that we had to describe Muhammad? They referred to him as what? The perfect man. Folks, Muhammad is the model of what all Muslims are attempting to do. In like manner, so is, guess who? Jesus Christ. Okay, look at the statement there. As man lays away his corporal vestments, his inner being sees more clearly. It gains a vision which sees what was previously unseen. Gates of knowledge are opened up to it. And before such a person will be laid out the secrets of the realities underlying the universe. In other words, the closer you get to Allah, the more what you get? The more knowledge you get, the more understanding you get, the more wisdom you get. Okay? Right? Who do you want teaching you? Somebody who's smart or somebody who's not so smart? I hope that I get a teacher who's pretty smart. Now, I've been in some college courses and I thought, man, what are you doing teaching this? Hadn't you? Okay? You just can't believe it. But you want somebody who at least he studied and at least he supposedly knows what he's talking about, right? Okay? You got two groups of Muslims. You have Muslims who are corporal, right? Worldly. Guess what they are? They're ignorant. Okay? They haven't increased in their understanding. And then you have those groups that are moving toward the what? The perfect man. Who do you want teaching? I want the perfect man. You see, he has dismissed all the things of this world and he is in touch with things that are what? Not seen. Okay? He understands the things of Allah. He has received knowledge, the things that other people have no clue about. Okay? And that's where all men are attempting to go. Now watch point two. The distance between man and God has been bridged by who? The perfect person. Okay. Here are those who have not attained perfection. They're not the perfect men. Here are those who have obtained unto the perfect man. Okay. The only way these can understand Allah is to go through who? The perfect man. Because he gets it. He understands it. See? Are there very many perfect men in the Muslim faith? No. Not very many. Okay? Not very many become the perfect man. All right? Let's keep reading. Such men have been chosen to represent God in every way. They see through Him, hear through Him, walk, grasp, think, hope, love. Their every faculty has been captured and they have shackled themselves to the robe of His majesty. Notice point B. My servant continues drawing near to me until I love him. And when I love him, I am the hearing through which he hears, the sight through which he sees, the hand through which he grasps, and the foot through which he walks. Okay? One who has achieved this proximity to God is known in the Islamic terminology as Insan Akamil, or the perfect person. Okay? Folks, guess who these people are? these perfect people? What office do you think they hold? What do they call them?
Amen.
Prophet. Okay? They are the prophets. Okay? They're not the imams. The imams haven't reached that position. There's only a few men who ever reached the position of what? The perfect man. Now remember what they teach. They say that Muhammad is God's last prophet. That's interesting. You know what that tells me? There will never be another person who will ever attain under the perfect man. Can't. Not if Allah is the last prophet. Okay? He's the last one who can reach that particular position within the Islamic faith. Okay? Now, notice the next one. It is in this context that Jesus must be viewed. He is called in the Quran a sign, ayat of God. The prophets of God are generally all given this designation. They are all, from Adam to Muhammad, signposts marking the path to God, each one addressing both the universal nature of man and the specific contingencies of his time. Okay? So, name me some of the perfect men that have come along in the Muslim faith. Abraham, yes. Moses, yes. Who? Ishmael, yes. He would have been the son of Abraham, which made him very important. Okay? All of the prophets. Okay? Any of those prophets named in the Bible as prophets, they would say, reach the perfect man status. And who? Oh yeah, all of those guys, perfect men. Okay, John the Baptist, perfect man. And even the Christ, the perfect man. All of them were what? Prophets, right? All of them that cleansed themselves of this world and then moved their spirits to be in touch with who? Allah. And they were able to do what? Hear Him, speak for Him, move for Him, grasp everything there is to know about Him, okay? No. And there's a reason for that. Okay? What do you think the reason might be? Wasn't a Christian. I mean, wasn't that he was Roman, it was that he's a Christian. He believed in a perversion of Jesus Christ. So there's no way that he could have been what? A perfect man. Okay? He was never even a Muslim as far as they're concerned. Okay? That's interesting, isn't it? So everybody understand that, right? Everybody got that concept of him? So what does this reduce Jesus to? M-A-N. Man. Got it? This right here is the best you're going to get out of a Muslim with regard to how they view Jesus. Okay? Now they will never just come out and just, you know, blast him away. You know, not in a big sense. Okay? If they're in a more private setting with their own, yes. But if they're talking to us, oh no. They're always going to present which side of Jesus? The good side, the positive side. He's the prophet. Yes. He's the Messiah. Yes. Yes, he was born of a virgin. Yes, he performed miracles. Okay? So understand that there's a facade, right, that they have to present with regard to Jesus to get us to even look at what? Islam, right? You have to have that. Okay, very, very interesting. Now watch this next point, okay? Jesus is the perfect man. He bridged the distance between man and Allah. He represents Allah in every way. He is referred to as Insan al-Kamil. These men are viewed as what? Signs of God. About to touch on that right there. And all of the prophets are giving that designation. Let's look at this concept of a sign or a signpost. Okay? Jesus was a sign. Folks, when a prophet is born into the world, okay, when I say that, I'm not talking about it as literal birth. Okay, when he reaches that position of the perfect man and he enters into the world, Jesus at age 30, right? there on the shores of the Jordan River when he was baptized by John the Baptist. When he entered into the world with his ministry, he became a signpost for all those people at that time. Well, what does that mean? Okay, a signpost links man back to something through one of the prophets. Okay, so Jesus has to link us back to something. Okay, here's what he links us back to: Adam. He links us back to Adam. Listen to Surah 359. Okay, here it is. The similitude of Jesus before Allah is as that of Adam. He created him from dust, then said to him, "Be," and he was. Okay? Now, raise your hand if you have a very high regard for Adam. Nobody. I got one low, one mediocre over here. He's scared to, you know, nobody else did, so he thought he'd chance it, you know. most of us just don't have this high regard for Adam, do we? Okay. Well, folks, he's not talking about Adam in the garden per se, and especially the Adam after the fall. Okay? What's he talking about? He's talking about the Adam before the fall. Notice that next statement. And before Adam was even put into the world. Okay? Was there a time when Adam was perfect? Was there a time when Adam's spirit had absolutely nothing to do with the world and he was fully in touch with the Almighty God? Yes. Okay, that's the perfect too. That's the perfect Adam. And folks, Jesus came along in order to get man to look back and to see himself as who? What God really wanted man to be from the start. Okay? Does the Bible refer to Jesus as the second Adam? It does. Interesting, isn't it? Go back and study your Bibles, folks. Okay? See, before you just go off on a Muslim, you have to know something about your own stuff. You know? Because here he is calling Jesus who? Adam. And yet, in our own Bibles, Jesus is referred to as the second Adam. Okay? There was a sense in which Jesus Christ was like unto Adam. Adam was a type of Jesus. Okay? When you study types and shadows in the Bible, you can take old Adam and you can compare him somewhat to Jesus. Okay? And there was a time when Adam was perfect and he was in full, complete fellowship with who? With God Almighty. And Jesus came along in order to do what? To represent that Adam back to us. That was his part of his mission. That's his signpost. Okay? Everybody understand that? Got that concept? All right. Look at point three there. He has seen with perfection of his inner eye the secrets of the universe. When he tells man of paradise, he has seen it. When he talks of God, he knows him. His every word is spoken from knowledge. He sees and hears and moves through God. The Spirit of Allah is his guide. Folks, he's the perfect man. He's the prophet. Okay? Unbelievable. Now, you and I say that we have in our possession today the words of Jesus Christ, don't we? Where are they found? In the New Testament, aren't they? Okay? Wow. And yet, if we go by our New Testaments, are we going to accept the Islamic faith? No. We're not going to do that, are we? So, if Jesus was the prophet, right? If he was really the perfect man, and he was in touch with the knowledge of Allah, and he gave that knowledge to man, then why isn't the New Testament viable? Why isn't it acceptable? Okay. There you go. Folks, it's been polluted by this thing called Christianity. Okay? Christianity came along, and rather than accept the words of Jesus, true or false, Jesus lived and died as a Jew. That's true, folks. That's true, isn't it? Okay, made of a woman, born under the law, Galatians 4, verse 4. Okay, he was always a Jew. What do Jews believe? One God, right? Even though Jesus said that he's the Son of God, right? They probably say that really needs to be little s, not capital S. And he wasn't born. That's all this stuff is perversions. Okay? All this stuff is a perversion. So that's why they don't accept Christianity. Okay? They hate it. They despise it. It's an enemy of Islam. I'll guarantee you that. So is what? Judaism. Okay? And that's why we're looked upon like we are. Notice the last view they have that is positive. And I'm using that word in a very, relative sense. He is also an apostle of God. Okay? Come back to that in just a minute. One charged by God to provide guidance for mankind and to bring man toward the path of perfection and salvation and to be the sign which hints at the heights to which man is capable of being. In other words, every one of us can become like Jesus, supposedly. Right? Supposedly. One of the questions that I would love to ask a Muslim is this. Can I ever reach, if I became a Muslim and I really accepted this faith, can I ever reach the state of the perfect man? You see? Because if I reach the state of a perfect man, then I become a what? I become a prophet. And that means that Muhammad was not the last what? Prophet. I hold a position equal to Muhammad. If not, why not? Because that's what made Muhammad what he was. You see? The answer to that question would be no. And so here I am. I'm striving to a goal that I can what? Never attain. Never attain. And you say, oh, that's terrible. Are you supposed to be like Christ? Can you ever attain that? Be careful. Right? Be careful. Only a few attain that goal. All right, so what have we learned so far about Jesus from the positive side of Islam? Tell me. Just name some positive things. He was a perfect man.
Born of a virgin.
Born of a virgin. Huh? Say it again.
Messiah.
Yeah, he's the Messiah. Perform miracles. He's a prophet of God. Right? You think that would make him a friend of God? Oh, yes. A friend of God. An ally of God. Right? So, we've got all these positive statements about Jesus from Islam. And folks, there's the positive side. Okay? Now let's go to the negative side. Because there is an extremely negative side. And the first point we're going to talk about is this. They deny Jesus' deity. Remember, Allah does not what? Beget. Can't do it. That right there excludes anybody from ever being called what? The Son of God. Okay? Look at this next point. Listen to the Quran. This is Surah 5, verse 72. Okay? They do blaspheme who say, God is Christ, the Son of Mary. Wow. Now, just a moment ago, I asked you, do you believe that Jesus is God? And guess what you said? Yes. You just blasphemed according to the Muslim faith. Notice the next surah. Okay? This comes from Surah 1988. Those who say the Lord of mercy has begotten a son preach a monstrous falsehood. That they should ascribe a son to the merciful when it does not become him to beget one. Folks, every time you call Jesus the Son of God, you are sinning and preaching false doctrine as far as who is concerned? The Muslim faith. The two faiths cannot stand together. Understand it? It's an impossibility. They cannot tolerate each other. Okay? I've got to teach a Muslim that Jesus is the Son of God, and he's got to teach me what? He is not the Son of God. That's diametrically opposed, isn't it? Yes, ma'am. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They can't stand it. Okay? We're going to get to a little bit of that in just a second. Folks, notice this. The term Son of God is offensive to Muslims. Now, notice why. Because they cannot conceive of God having sexual relationship with Mary or that God was ever married. What have they just done? They have done like most of the world does today. Okay? Jesus talked of a coming kingdom. And everybody thinks what? Earthly, physical, literal kingdom to come. Even though Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. You know, Jesus, is your kingdom of this world? No, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom of this world, then when the serpents fight. John 18, verse 36. Okay. Jesus talked to Nicodemus, right? About the new birth. And what did he say? Yeah, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? He immediately went to the what? To the physical. We say that Jesus is the Son of God. They immediately take a very carnal position with regard to how that was accomplished. Well, if that be the case, then God had to be married. And if he were married, then he had to have sexual relationships. And we know who the mother was. The mother was who? The mother was Mary, so that means that God the Father had sexual relationships with Mary in order to produce who? Jesus Christ. You see, they've immediately done what? Gone to the carnal concepts. And man does this all the time, okay, when it comes to things of God. And we have to be very careful about that, okay? So just understand that they cannot stand that term right there, okay? And this is the image that comes to their mind. God the Father had a sexual relationship with Mary. Is that how it was done? No, it was miraculous, wasn't it? Okay? I still... What? A miracle. Absolutely. And that's where you could point them to. You know, explain to me Adam. How did Adam get here? Right? Because Adam's referred to as the Son of God, isn't he? In Luke, the third chapter. So, see, it'd be a good place to talk to them a little bit more about this concept of how sons are born, okay, or brought forth. Okay, yes, sir? I know. And see, I just, before you stop me, I was just about to go there. And yeah, you'd want to know what? Yeah. So God didn't have sexual relationships with Mary. Oh, no. God can't beget, right? Why did she get pregnant? With Jesus, right? She had to get pregnant by what? By a miracle. There you go. That's what we've been saying all along, right? It was a miraculous birth by means of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 1, verse 35. Okay? The Holy Spirit shall overshadow thee. Okay? Shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. That's how it was done. So there's questions, see, that we can ask them. But you can't ask the questions until you understand their perception about things, right? And that's why this study, I hope, is good for us, okay? So that we, when we're talking with them, we can ask them a few things. Now, watch this next surah. This is interesting. This is Surah 5, 116, 117. It relates a conversation between Jesus and God the Father on the day of judgment, okay? Listen to how the conversation goes. And behold, Allah will say, O Jesus, the Son of Mary, didst thou say unto men, worship me and my mother as gods in the derogation of Allah? He will say, glory to thee. Never could I say what I had no right to say. Had I said such a thing, thou wouldest indeed have known it. Thou knowest what is in my heart, although I know not what is in thine. Never said I to them aught except what thou didst command me to say, to wit, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. So, even within the Quran, we find Jesus himself acknowledging that I never told anybody to worship me as God. Okay? That's right in the Quran. I just read it to you. Okay, so the Quran plainly teaches that Jesus is not what? Deity. Okay? He is not deity. Got that?
Point number two.
Jesus is not eternal. Somebody asked me, somebody defined for me what it means to be eternal. Yes. No beginning, no end, folks. The first part is what's important for us, right? Are we eternal? We're not eternal, are we? We had a beginning, but we don't have an end, right? But we had a beginning. We're finite. We're human, right? We're not eternal in nature. Only God, only deity is what? Is infinite, is eternal. We're finite, aren't we? Okay? Notice what the surah says. Jesus was no more than a mortal. There it is. That's the surah. Where's the surah located? Don't say 4359. Where is a surah located? In the Quran. Okay, this is a quote from the Quran, folks. Jesus was no more than a mortal whom Allah favored and made an example to the Israelites. So he was not what? He's not eternal. He's just what? He's mortal, just like you and who? Just like you and me. He's not eternal. Number one, he is not deity. Number two, he is not what? Eternal. Number three, he did not die on Calvary. He did not die on Calvary. Folks, this is interesting. This comes from Surah 4, 157 through 159. Look what it says. That they say, we killed Christ Jesus, the Son of Mary, the messenger of Allah. But they killed him not, nor crucified him. Watch this. Only a likeness of that was shown to them. And those who differ therein are full of doubts, with no knowledge, but only conjecture to follow. For a surety they killed him not. Wow. Unbelievable. Okay, question. Is, and I'll put this in quotation marks for right now, is the death of Jesus a historical fact? Yes. No ifs, ands, buts about it. Somebody named Jesus was crucified by the Romans, AD 33. That's historical fact. Okay, now notice what they say. Only a likeness of that was crucified. Not Jesus. So the question that we ask is what?
Who was it?
Who was it? They got three answers for you. Are you ready? Here we go. Number one, Jesus hid while an unknown took his place. We don't know who it was.
Does this make Allah a deceiver?
A deceiver?
Because if he showed them a likeness, and then it actually wasn't Jesus, but according to that, he can be deceived.
He would probably, they would probably say that he was a protector of his prophet. Okay? Because the reality is what they say is that it was at this time that he took Jesus off the face of the earth and took him into heaven. Okay? That's where he really put him. Okay? So he protected his prophet is what he did. Okay? Oh, it did deceive man, yeah. Okay? But what were they doing? They're about to reject his prophet, right? At the time. Okay? Now, watch this second one. It was Judas. This one who got put on the cross was Judas, some Muslims say. And he was receiving his just deserts for what he had done to Jesus. Third one, it was Satan. God put Satan on the cross and crucified him. Permanent punishment in opposition to Allah. Okay? Unbelievable, isn't it? Just can't even imagine it. All right? Now, listen to what they say. Muslims say that someone else was substituted for Jesus on the cross, and Jesus himself was taken up into heaven where he is still living today. In the final days, Jesus will return. Perhaps as the Mahdi, that is, the messianic figure of Islam. defeat the anti-Messiah or the Antichrist and live for 40 years on the earth. He will then die for the first time, be buried in a place reserved for him beside Muhammad in Medina, and will be resurrected on the day of judgment when he, like all prophets, will be a witness for or against his community. Wow. It's pretty in-depth stuff, isn't it, when you really think about this stuff. Now, watch point D. This comes from a book entitled Christ or the Quran. And here's the question. Can you imagine the skill that it must have taken in the appearance of the crowd and the crucifixion to make it appear as though it was Christ crucified? Could the Roman soldiers, Mary and the other women, and the mob be so deceived? I mean, can you imagine? God, Allah, would have had to have blinded the eyes of every one of those people, wouldn't he? Because we're talking about people who had been with Jesus for 33 years. Mary, she was there, wasn't she? And yet, she looks upon this person on the cross, and guess who she thinks it is? It's my son, and it's Satan. Or, that's my son, but it's really Judas who just betrayed my son. Unbelievable, isn't it?
John was there.
Huh? John was there? Absolutely. So, they deny the cross of Calvary. Look at the next one. Some other beliefs that they hold about Jesus. Okay? Jesus is not the Savior, folks. Okay? I skipped one there. And the reason I skipped that, folks, is because I don't have anything just... I found this in a book, or is it really in a magazine entitled Think Magazine, in an article by Trent Wheeler. They do not believe that Jesus' ministry was a full ministry. Okay? It was a limited ministry. And it wasn't really a universal ministry, per se. Okay, it was only for who? For Israel. Okay, was that true to some extent? Yeah, in the beginning, he had the limited commission, did he not? And he only sent his people out to Israel. Okay, and they say that Jesus' ministry really didn't involve the full world. Is that true? No. His new covenant was for who? Was for all men. Just understand that they have that concept about Jesus. Okay, but notice these next three beliefs. Muslims deny that Jesus is the Savior of men. Muslims do not believe that man even needs another man to save him. Salvation is not dependent upon a Savior. It's dependent upon what? Our manner of life, or a Muslim's manner of life. Not a Savior, okay? It depends on how the Muslim what? Conducts himself in this life, okay? Listen to this statement. This comes from a book entitled The Complete Idiot's Guide to Understanding Islam. God doesn't need to sacrifice himself to atone for the sins of mankind because he can forgive anything he wants, any time he wants. Is that true? Can God forgive anything he wants, any time he wants, if he wants to? He could until he instituted the new covenant. Isn't that right? But see, that's what they believe. If Allah doesn't have to kill his son, Allah doesn't have to shed blood, Allah doesn't have to put Christ on the cross in order to do what? To offer forgiveness. He can just what? Offer forgiveness. Okay? So that's why you don't need a what? You don't need a Savior. Okay? Notice this next statement. In Islam, the basis of weighing on the scale of justice, if a person's good deeds outweigh his bad deeds, and we've talked about that, then he goes to paradise. And if the scale is unbalanced in the other direction, he goes to hell. This assumes some standard that God uses to discern whether they are going to one place or the other. And all that is required to satisfy the justice of God is that the scales not be weighed more in one direction of sin than in the direction of virtue. Now watch this next statement. However, if someone's good outweighs his evil, God, who is supposedly a just God, does not seem to sense any obligation punish the evil. In that case, God simply forgives the evil. In this scheme, God seems to be somewhat arbitrary, not entirely just. Right? Folks, if you and I commit sin, what is the punishment for sin? Death. The wages of sin is death. So here they are under the Islamic faith. They commit sin, but guess what? If their good deeds can outweigh all that sin, then guess what? There's no death. Okay? So it's real arbitrary, isn't it? All I've got to do is make dead certain that I've got one more good deed than bad. And all the bad means nothing. Isn't that amazing? Amazing. No consequences for those transgressions. That's right.
Does Allah deal with the inside of man? Deal with the inside of the heart of man?
He does, only in the sense that you desire to become like Him. Okay?
So your thoughts are considered sin under the...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can have some wicked thoughts. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you can have good thoughts. It's all about what? Good outweighing bad, right? Okay, point number two. Jesus is not a mediator. You don't need one, they say. Just go what? Just go directly to who? Just go directly to Allah. You don't need a mediator. A mediator? A go-between? Let me ask you this. Why do we need a mediator? Huh? So what's that got to do with it? Why can't I still just go directly to God? Right. Folks, God cannot sin. God cannot look upon sin. God cannot tempt man to sin. There is absolutely nothing about God that is sinful. Right? And there is not one sinful human being who can approach God. Not directly. He's too what? He's too holy. We don't teach this very often, do we? Do we really teach this? Okay. That's how holy He is. You sin one time, and guess what? You've separated yourself from God. Now you need a what to get to Him? You need a mediator. Did they need one under patriarchy? Yes. Who was it? The father. He was the prophet, wasn't he? Within the family. He was the priest of the family, offering sacrifices for his children. Did they have one under the Mosaic age? Yes, the high priest, right? But before the Day of Atonement and before the offering of sacrifices for the people, what did he have to do? He had to make a sacrifice of sin for himself to make himself in right standing with God so he could go to God, didn't he? Well, guess what? Jesus comes along and guess what? He doesn't need a sacrifice for himself. And he perfectly opens up the way to where? To God Almighty, okay? Without him, we couldn't get to God, could we? We need a high priest, don't we? And we have him in Jesus. Yes, sir.
I know that me and you have talked about that whole confusion that I have about the beings that create one God.
Mm-hmm.
But what you just said confused me because you're saying that Jesus is the mediator, but he is also God.
Mm-hmm.
And God cannot touch sin or see sin because he's that holy.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of just, wouldn't that say that Jesus technically shouldn't even be?
Mm-hmm. Now you're grappling with God becoming what? Flesh. And the Word was made flesh. You see, folks, listen to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 beginning. Okay? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, hear that? Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Some of the newer versions say, thought it not something to be grasped to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Okay? Now, watch this. Jesus died, right? He was buried, and what happened the third day? He rose with what? With a body. Just like we're going to rise with a body. Okay? He ascended back to the right hand of God in a body. Did you know that? Now it was glorified, and it had to be. Can't go into heaven without being glorified, right? It's a glorified body. Turn over to 1 Timothy. And somebody read verses 4 and 5 for us. 1 Timothy 2, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy 2. 4 and 5.
We desire all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth.
Stop. That's God. Okay? God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Keep reading.
For there is one God and one mediator between God and men.
Stop. The Bible says what? There's a mediator now between what? God and man. Can't get to God because God's too holy, right? But God desires all men to be saved. So now what do we have? We have a mediator between us and who? And God. Who is he? Oh. Y'all hear that? The what? The man, Christ Jesus. Folks, God the Father is spirit. The Holy Spirit is spirit. God, Jesus is what? Spirit and flesh. Well, not flesh like we know it, okay? It's a spiritual body, but he still possesses a manly form like us, okay? Now, turn over to 1 John chapter 3, and somebody read verses 1 and 2. Hear that? When he shall appear, we shall be what? Like him. We're going to possess a what? A spiritual body. For we shall see him as he is at that point. Okay? He's the only member of the Godhead who subjected himself to what? Human flesh. And in doing that, he had to take upon him a little bit lesser of a position, didn't he? As some of the elements about him is concerned. Okay? And it enabled him to operate as our what? Perfect high priest. Okay? So it's the flesh element that he's still what? He's still God. Okay? He is, some refer to him as God-man. Okay? He is the God-man. He was 100% God, but he was also 100% what? Flesh. Man. And it's hard for us to comprehend that molding, isn't it? Okay? It's pretty tough. Pretty high, lofty concepts. All right, let's look at the conclusion. We'll be done. Well, let me hit that last one. Jesus is not the final judge of man. Okay, we believe that he is, don't we? He is not in the Muslim faith because the only judgment is going to be what? Good and bad, right and wrong, right? Okay? And God, Allah, he'll do that. Don't need Jesus to do that. See, when we get before God in the last day, we need an advocate there with us, don't we? All this sin, and Jesus can step up and say, oh no, Lord, that sin does not count against him because my blood has cleansed all of that from his life, you see. You don't need that when it comes to judgment with regard to the way the Muslims look at it. All right, summary, real quickly. Here's their view. In Islam, Jesus is what? The perfect man, isn't he? He is a prophet of God. He is a sign. We see a picture of a man who is both a servant and friend of who? Of Allah, no doubt about it. Now watch this next statement, okay? But even with such a high view of Jesus, he is still not God according to the Muslims. He is just a fully realized man, an apostle of God. But even one who actualizes this potentials and attains a type of union with God does not become God. God remains God. There's only one who? One God, one being, according to them. Okay? So Jesus, in their mind, can never be who? Can never be God. Is that different than us? Oh, folks, look here. To the Christian, Jesus is a prophet, yes? Yea, but much more than a prophet. He is who? The Son of the living God, folks. To us, he is the way, the truth, and the life, John 14:6. And notice what Jesus says. For if you believe not that I am he, you shall what? Die in your sins. Folks, you've got to believe that he is what? The Christ, the Son of the living God, or you'll what? Die in your sins. Now, watch this. Either Jesus was right, or Muhammad was right. There is no in between, folks. No in between. We're at war. You got that? We're at war. It's what we are. And we need to understand it. We're in a spiritual war, right? Even with the Muslims. And we need to get out here and start fighting that warfare. We need to get out here and we need to be as vocal as they are about Jesus and who He is, as they are about who He ain't. I know that's not good English, but they're like that. Now, I've given you a chart in your notes that I found online, and I think it's a good chart that summarizes, okay? You've got the Muslim view of Jesus, you've got the Christian view, and in between there are some likenesses, okay? And we talked about some of those today, all right? Questions or comments? How bad did we do? Oh, man, we did pretty good. Six after. I knew I was flying. Yeah, they make a lot of claims, you know. A claim is just that, isn't it? A claim. Okay, until I can establish the truthfulness of a claim, it's just what? It's just a claim, isn't it? That's all it is. Anybody else? Good stuff. Questions, comments? About the, Larry?
One of the qualifications of a good mediator is that he understands both sides. And Christ is the perfect mediator because He was God and man.
Absolutely. Right. I started to go there. Let's just real quickly turn there. Hebrews chapter 2. Somebody read verse 17. Hebrews 2:17.
Wherefore in all things it behooves him to be made like unto his brethren.
Stop. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto who? Us, his brethren. Okay? He's been made like us. Why?
That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God.
Stop. See, he became flesh so that he could function in what position? High priest. He could be a two things. He could be a merciful high priest to who? To us. And faithful high priest to who? To God, satisfying the demands of what? Of the law. Forgiving us, satisfying the demands of the law for God. What's the demands of the law? A violent, bloody, physical death. Right? Now, what's the last part say?
To make reconciliation for the sins of the people.
There he is. Folks, that's what he did for us. He made reconciliation for the sins of the people, didn't he? And that's me. That's you. Okay? Had to take on flesh to do that. Good point. Good closing verse, too. Get out of here. I'm tired of looking at you.